Blog Talk Radio.
Come on in this house. Come on in this house. Come on in this house where the feast of the Lord is going on. Come on in this house, brethren. Come on in this house, my sister. Come on in this house, my brother, where the table is spread and the feast of the Lord is going on. Oh, when you indulge, when you engage in this feast, you will never hunger again. When you drink from the water that flows through this brook called life everlasting and spiritual reflection and spiritual rejuvenation, you will never again thirst anymore. For we know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And let me tell you, God's word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish. When something is accomplished, it's fulfilling. It is manifesting. But it will accomplish, it will manifest the mission that it was structured to fulfill. And let me tell you something, in this day and time, we're looking for true manifestation. We want true validation of what we believe, why we believe, and how we believe. We're living in a day and time where proof and evidence is substantial and validating what is right and what is wrong, what is truth and what is fallacy, what is real reality and what is unrealistic. We need to be able to close those parameters and to project that which is reflective of truth. And so I'm so glad. I am so glad. I'm elated. I'm jubilant. I'm joyful of the fact that you tuned in this evening, this afternoon. You may be in the morning sex, depending on the geographical location where you are. It may be nighttime. It may be midnight. Wherever you are, the power of God knows no time limitations or barriers. It knows no specificity of geographical location. But we know that God is, and remember this, he is omniscient. That's right. I mean, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, which means every place at every given time, because he is a spirit. That's right. A spirit remains invisible. However, the presence of that spirit brings about manifestations that validate the existence of that spirit. And we know that where the spirit of the Lord is, there is indeed liberty there. So we're so glad. We are jubilant. We are exuberant that you tuned in on this glorious and victorious Sunday. It is another chapter to be written, another page turned in your book of life. Every one of us has that volume that's being currently in production, which talks about us, the book of us. These connotations are recorded by God in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's right. The glorious and victorious day that it is, Sunday, the 3rd of October. Can you believe that we are to the third day of the 10th month of this year? This year has really gone by rapidly, and it will continue to do so. You know why? Because we know that we are on the boundary, the brink of a new age, a new projection, and a new era. Yes, you've heard it right here. Right here on the broadcast, Manna from on High. That's right, where the power of God's presence is illuminated through biblical instruction, through prophecy, through the word of wisdom, through the presence of God. Because we know that wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, my brethren, my precious pilgrims, there is liberty there. Presence of God, the power of his anointing knows no limitations. God will be as large as you allow him to be. He will be as immense as you will allow him to be. Remember the words that Jesus spake unto his disciples? He said unto them, according to your faith. With faith is expectation. Be it unto you. What are you believing, God? What are you expecting God to do in your life? Have you ever sat down? This is a word of knowledge. Have you ever sat down and thanked God for where you are in the here and now? Have you ever just sat down outside of the demands of a busy work day? And work is sometimes not, is always deemed as being an external career or profession. Many people work within their home environment. That's right. Some even work in a way as being a parent. Let me tell you something. Hats off to those who are at home with their children and are working with their children at home, helping them to pursue educational and academic excellence. As I'm an educator and I know the striving, sometimes the contentions that oftentimes coexist in that area. Hats off to parents who have taken the helm and said, okay, we're going to guide you through the parameters of academic excellence to their children. Hats off to you. And let me tell you something, being a stay-at-home parent is a job. It is a profession that deserves recognition, that deserves respect. There's dignity in all levels of work. And let me tell you something. Outside of that, no matter what your profession is, be thankful to God for it. For God spoke to us through his word. He says, you've been faithful over a few things. Behold, I'll make you the ruler of many. Have you ever sat down to where you are, who you are, and what you're doing, and thank God for what you have? Be thankful. You have a place to live, a place to call home. And I'm praying for those who are in the midst of seeing their home life being jeopardized because of the moratorium eviction ban has expired. Praying that God would send a supernatural financial blessing to those who are waiting in the wings patiently, not knowing what to do. Praying that God will open up the heavens and pour out blessings, financial blessings, that they who are waiting in the helm won't have room to receive. And I pray that when God does this, because he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God, our provider, that when God does this, that they thank him for it and know that it was him. See, God moves the man that has the money who can disperse. See, money answers all things. This is the reason why we need to get back. Apostle Paul said, first natural. This is an unusual word. Sit down wherever you are. Tune in to the spiritual aspects of your existence and tune out the world right now. See, Apostle Paul said this, first natural, then spiritual. God knows for us to be a full service to him, a full testimony to him, and a representation of his honor and glory, we have to have a habitation that we call home that is livable, that is substantiated to who we are. We're the king's children. We are entitled to have what is good, what is wholesome, what is best. My best may not be your best. But however your best is, God is who decides it. Let me tell you something. Listen, God's hand is moving. Be still, as he told Moses, and know that I'm God. Stand still. I know you're feeling discouraged right now. This is an unusual word. Behold this word. Because it's coming forth. It's coming forth. It's being birthed. That's right. As a newborn child introduced into the living world. That child was internalized, conceived. And when that child reached the brink of maturity, then comes the birthing process. That means that the physical manifestation of what was encased within is about to be manifested on the outer perimeters. It's coming. And thank God for his loving kindness and his tender mercy. And do the right thing. Turn back and give God the glory. Because note that it was him. That stronghold of poverty stinks. If poverty was ever to have an odor, it is putrid. It is sickening. And it's a stench that God wants to remove with his blessed anointing and with his power to create wealth. And Father God putting wealth in the hands of believers to convince even non-believers that he is God and he rules. He rules the universe. The Lord, he reigns. And blessed be the rock and the God of our creation and our salvation be exalted. Thank you, God, for removing the stench of poverty, of lack. Thank you, Father God. To those of you who have been standing, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And give him the honor and the glory. That's right. Because God's word tells us that the wealth of the unjust is laid up for the just. And God moves the man that has the ability to break the back of poverty. Because remember, the scriptures tell us that money answers all things. On the natural level, to break poverty, what do you need? You need money. And here you go. Some of you are judging. Don't you judge. This isn't for you. If you're not in lack and limitation, you don't need this word. But to those who are standing there saying, Lord, what am I going to do? They need this word. Money answers all things. Hunger. Money buys food. Clothes that are tattered and scattered about. Money answers all things. Money buys clothes. Not having the biological necessities within the residency of electricity, of water, of gas. Gas produces heat. What? Gas is financed through the payment given to the utility company. Money answers all things. Water for cleanliness, for cooking, for the very hygienic appropriations of the human anatomy. Money answers all things. And the water company receives money, so the continuation of that provision is evidential and perpetual. So, light in the darkness, electricity, what? Money answers all things, because the money provides the epiphysis in which the electricity produces light in your home, where you can go about your daily regiment and even your nightly regiment of having security of light. Money answers all things, because the electric company has to receive compensation for that provision. So money answers all things, and God knows this. And because of this, he is a God that watches over his word to perform it. That's right. And we are thanking God for performing the financial provisions necessary to sustain us in this earthly life. Because you see, heaven knows no lack. Heaven knows no poverty. Heaven knows no instability. And when Jesus spake as our Lord and Savior, he said, thy kingdom come. That means the kingdom of heaven to every believer, to everyone that receiveth the truth. It's come. And he's not waiting on it. It's already come. So if I'm already arrived, why are you sitting up talking about when are you coming? I'm already here. And I bring the very essence of heaven with me. And that's what Jesus did. He brought heaven to a terrestrial level. He took the extraordinary, the interplanetary, and brought it to the territory, to the terrain of earth. God in the flesh, manifesting the very supernatural abilities of the Almighty. And Jesus said this. He says, I and my Father are one. You see me, you see my Father. No man cometh to the Father except by me. That's right. So we know that Jesus brought a bit of heaven right here upon the earth. Why? How do we know? Because we knew that the lame began to walk, the blind began to see, the dumb began to talk, the deaf began to hear, and even so, he resurrected Lazarus. Even so, the man was vexed with evil spirits who would cast himself into the graveyard. Jesus came to him and called out those spirits and sent those spirits to flee. He was made whole. He was delivered. So this is how we know that Jesus is who he is. And it's something about that name. Oh, it's something about that name. Oh, just thank God for Jesus. For Jesus brought us back to the Father because disobedience and sin had separated us from the very Creator who made us and called us out. Don't you know that our existence is no accident? We were predestined from the foundation of the world to exist, to become the very subject matter in the book of life. God described the day that we were to be born and the day that we make the exodus. Some of us are going to make the exodus when Jesus comes back and cracks open the sky. Some of us, we're going to be here and behold him coming. Some will leave this world before they see him. But nevertheless, when that trump blows, they will rise first. Then we, which are alive and yet remain, will be caught up to meet them. So we're all going to be gathered together. But until then, until that hour, we've got to sustain. We've got to fight the good fight of faith and walk in the spirit that we fulfill not the lust of the flesh. So hold on. Deliverance is coming. And praise God for his power. Oh, it's just power, power, wondrous working power and the precious blood of the Lamb. And I'm just thanking God for those of you who are here today who have tuned in to say, you know what? I got to go back and get what God has in store for me. And it's within the habitation of the Lord that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And we're so praising God for his existence today and for the validity of his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. So we're thanking God for those of you today, and we're going to be going forth in the word of God and realize that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. I will praise thee, O God, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sat in the throne judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen and hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. Their memorial is perished with them. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the time of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doing. When God gives you that breakthrough, declare his doing unto the people. That means believers and unbelievers alike. Declare his works. God dwells in the midst of praises. And when we give our testimony, that glorifies God. That gives another validation stamp on our card. It does. The more that we praise God, the more that God will do for us. Praise his holy name. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare amongst his people his doings. I had to repeat that because it's so important. We forget. We get caught up in the moment. God has given some of us, and here's another word of knowledge, has blessed and prospered so many of us. We get the blessing. We say, thank you, Lord, for the moment. Then we forget. We get caught up in the whirlwind again. But then when God gives a nice little slap to us of chastisement, then we back, woe is me. We get the Jeremiah factor going. Stay humble. Stay focused. Stay visual. Remain on the path of righteousness. God gives us breakthroughs. He delivers us. He heals us. He prospers us and blesses us to keep us on that pathway of righteousness, because God does not want us to do wrong to get over in this world. He doesn't want his children to steal and to lie and to cheat and to increase the standards of unrighteousness, because that's not the kind of God he is. We're not going to shortchange and counterfeit. He wants us to have the best, because we are the king's children. We are entitled to the best, because look who our high priest is Jesus. That's right. Unto him, he's the author and the finisher of the faith. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning, all right? And we just thank God. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembers them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. When you're humble, you're poor in spirit. That means you're constantly reflecting on where God brought you from. So therefore, you have compassion with others. You're not turning your nose up at others. You're not looking down on us, because remember what God brought us to and brought us through. And if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Many of us wouldn't even be here. And many of us, if we were here, we wouldn't be in our right mind, because Lord knows I am a walking, talking, breathing, living, spirit-filled testimony. I can tell you some things that God has done supernaturally, and I know it was him. And let me tell you something. I never get beyond that. And I don't care if God would bless me to be a multi-billionaire on tomorrow. I'd still have the same spirit. I'd still have the same love of God, because I know what he brought me from. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes my eyes get filled with tears. Sometimes my heart gets so glad I could just flow with the greatness of his presence, and I get emotional about it. Oh, we must maintain our emotional expressions with God. Oh, the greater things that he would do. I've read for your listening consideration and your soul's inspiration the 9th division of Psalms, verses 1 through 12. Oh, the power of God's word. is just a magnificent thing in the life of the believer. And even to those who may have fallen by the wayside and have gotten out of fellowship, it's not too late. No man can judge you because we are all sinners saved by grace. There is no super or mega Christian. There is no individual that's holier than thou. The only holiness and righteousness we have is Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our cleanliness. He is our Redeemer. He is our Messiah. He's our High Priest. And he is the only righteousness that we have. Don't go around glorifying mankind, various individuals who are on the public platform. You know what? God will let you know all their high places I bring down, and you'll see them, that they are no different from you. So the Holy Spirit that the apostles had is no different from the Holy Spirit that God gives to everyone that believes. No, it's no difference. Stop making the differences in people, acting as though that they are God. God is tired of being second on the list. You worship personalities. Many of us have fallen by the wayside because we have worshiped personalities and people, performers, and have taken eyes off God. The emphasis of our servitude becomes focused upon mankind, upon idolistic recognition. God is tired of that. You've got to put your focus, your belief, your servitude unto God. And when you place it upon to God, he will glory you with his blessings. He will glory you with his presence. He will glory you with his greatness. There's no difference. We make the difference because we're foolish. We fall by the wayside. We start looking at people, giving idolistic recognition. God is tired of that. He wants us to take our focus and realign the polarity of our vision and look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Are you willing to do that today? I know sometimes I get so overwhelmed with requirements of the legal aspects of life, of the daily regimens of life, then I have to come back to my senses and say, wait a minute. God is the reason why I'm able to do all of these things, because without him, couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Wouldn't be able to do it. So we need to go back to the very areas of where we belong. And putting God first, unto Jesus, we give recognition. We give honor. Because he did what no other man, but no other prophet could do, redeem mankind from his infractions. And he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulders, by whose stripes we were healed. That's right. And so we walk in the greatness of his presence. And thank God for his presence. And to those of you who are here with us, we're so thankful that you are. And we're going to go into the book of Galatians very quickly. And we're going to go to the first verse and the third chapter. You know, Apostle Paul, and here it is, was so upset and frustrated. Sometimes as a leader, you become so frustrated with the behaviors of individuals. And you know, you would honestly think that they would know better, but sometimes the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Exercise authority to the flesh to behave itself. But, you know, God knew that the Spirit of God does not always strive with us because we're all so flesh, so sometimes we act out in a carnal mannerism. Because there's two categories of our existence. We're spiritual and we're carnal. Carnal is the fleshly, the outer man. And the inner man is governed by the Holy Spirit, which the holy consciousness speaks to our human consciousness. So we still do have a human consciousness, but the Holy Spirit should be the governing force of our human consciousness. and it deals with the very aspects of our existence. Because you think about it, the Freudian concept talked about three levels of the person. It talked about the ego, which is the imprint of your personality, who you are, your likes and your dislikes, your superego, which is your moralistic fabrication of what you believe in, the areas of conviction and morality, and then the id, which is considered as the pleasure principle, which deals with the carnality aspect of our being. And so therefore, in understanding all these things, we have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit talk and speak and govern over our human consciousness so that we make the right decisions. Do we always do it? No. So when we fall short, when we endure an infraction and sin, or even we think in the areas of doing wrong, that's a spirit of iniquity, we have to ask God for strength, his grace. That grace means the ability to manipulate the situation and to gain the momentum to ascertain something positive from it. And we have to ask God for grace because we can't do this. We can't walk this journey. We can't talk this journey without his presence. We can't do it. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, here's Apostle Paul. He's really upset. Who has bewitched you? That means who has tricked you? Who has manipulated you? Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law. That means by legalism, by doctrine, by an organization. You don't receive the Holy Spirit by an organization, by a denomination. No, you receive it by faith in God through Jesus Christ, which is called appropriation, spiritual appropriation, or by the hearing of faith. You hear it by faith. By faith are you saved what? Through faith. By grace are you saved. You say by faith are you saved through grace. They work hand in hand. They intertwine and interconnect with each other and produce the proclivity or the evidence translation. This only one I learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law? No. You receive it by what? Faith. Faith is that mainstream root that branches throughout that entire tree, that feeds that tree, that nurtures that tree, that strengthens that tree, that provides roots, embedment under the soil, beneath the topsoil, so that that tree can grow. We should see the evidences of faith in our life by the working of miracles, by deliverance, by healing, by the manifestation of spiritual gifts. This is how you know you're walking the path of righteousness. That's right. And he said, who has bewitched you that you would just forget that the power of God through Jesus Christ opened your eyes and brought you to that level of spirituality, of redemption? See, no organization can redeem you. No doctrine can redeem you. No physical person can redeem you. So that's why God does not want us to focus on people. He wants us to focus on his presence. Don't focus upon the messenger. Focus upon the message, because that message should reflect God, his power, his presence, and Jesus Christ. Anything outside of that is false doctrine. I don't care who's teaching it. I don't care who's promoting it. Don't believe the hype. He says, are you foolish? The third verse, having began in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? That means, have you received the new birth of salvation? Has God opened your eyes and revealed his presence unto you? Have you allowed the almighty presence of God through Jesus Christ, which has transformed you from death unto life and has empowered and impelled within you spiritual gifts of his greatness, his knowledge, his wisdom, and his ability? Have you started off that way and now you're confined in the flesh? You've become carnal-minded. You've sought after your own identity. You've gone a whoring after the world, lusting after the things in the world, loving the world more than you love God. What has happened to you? Let's find out. Then the fourth verse says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, that means, have you come so far and endured so much? Now you've turned your back and have allowed the world to overtake you? Have you went through all of what you endured now to become back to point one? If yet, you have gotten to that level, but you're slowly but surely beginning to lose gravity? Wait a minute. The fifth verse, he says, he therefore that ministereth to you in the spirit and worketh miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Remember, spiritual gifts are implemented by the power of faith. Faith is the evidence or the proof of what you believe, why you believe, and how you believe. It is the substance. Substance means matter, materialistic matter. And all materialistic matter is not visual to the eyes because it's a spiritual concept that provides the manifestation of those things and translates them onto the physical realm. If I were to tell you that it's cold outside, okay, you could say, oh, yeah, it's cold. What would the evidence be? You go outside and the temperature has dropped and you need an outer garment to keep you warm. And unless the humidity is substantiated enough, you would be able to see your breath. Just because you can't see something does not mean it's not there. And this is what faith is. Faith is invisible, but you visibly in your spiritual man. That's why it's so important to walk in the spirit of God so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I mean, we don't start acting out of character. We don't get outside of our behavior. That we maintain the integrity of who we are, what we are, and how we are, and most of all, who we belong to. Because we miss out on the essence of God's promises being manifested when we're carnal-minded. And this is what he's saying. You operate through the power of the Holy Spirit that works within you. You don't work within the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works from within you. And it's not from a doctrine. He says by faith. It's not by personality. It's by faith. It's not from an organization. It's by faith. God wants us unprogrammed, unplugged into the system. What has happened is that the system has undergone failure. There's a great power failure in the body of believers. Not in the body of Christ. The power of Jesus Christ is ever present and still as miraculous as the day that he touched this earth and touched mankind. The epiphysis of the failure or diminishing of the power is because we are not walking in obedience to the word. We're walking in obedience to a man or a woman as a leader of a congregation. We're walking in the obedience of a doctrine, of a letter. And Apostle Paul, when he said the letter killeth, but the spirit quickeneth and giveth life. So you've got to be able to understand dividing lines. Your personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ is what gives you salvation. An organization, a concrete building does not provide you with salvation, honey. You have to connect with God. He is what provides you with salvation, with redemption, with his power, with the Holy Spirit. All of these are evident in one. We're going to come back next week, and we're going to continue on talking about reunited with Christ. We need to reunite because so many of us, we're sitting in a congregation, haven't reunited. We're in an organization. We haven't reunited. We're falling behind so-called Christian celebrities. God is not in that foolishness. We haven't reunited with Christ. And this is the reason why there's a power failure in our lives. We're not being victorious in our lives. We're not being more than conquerors in our lives through him that loved us, because we're not reunited to Christ again. We reunite, first of all, you have to be united. We need to join together as one. But now we need to reunite, because many of those bonds have been broken. We've allowed the world to dictate to us how we should live, what we should have, and how we should be, instead of letting the presence of God dictate to us and bring us to that level of the highest degree of expectation. So we're going to continue on next week. Have a miracle-filled, prosperous week. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And know that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Have a glorious, victorious week. This is your Bible instructor, Abby A. Phelps, saying, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever, and let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have a glorious, victorious, and miracle-filled week.